And yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the people, the Lord, will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over the people. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that all may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And so we see here that the nation of Israel is encamped on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, I always have to remind myself of this because it's hard to imagine that you have 2 million people gathered there on that side. I mean, if we just go, and the reason we get that number is it says 500,000 men over the age of 20. Okay, that's clear. That's given to us in the book of Numbers. Now, you can figure that you have a wife and you have at least two kids. So it's easy to go to 2 million people that are sitting there, and they are sitting on the other side of the river. They've conquered all the enemies around them, and they're sitting there and they're wondering what's next. And so we see that Joshua did what? He rose up early in the morning because he knew that there was work to be done. And so often we don't want to rise up, do we? We're hesitant to rise up. But here Joshua rose up early in the morning. So he gets things started right off the bat, and he gets going. And he says, and they removed from Shittim. Okay, now we say, where in the world is Shittim? What does this have to do with anything? Okay, well, it was about 3 miles away from the Jordan River, and it was up in a grove of trees. As you can imagine, if you have this many people, you're going to need shade. And so they were there tucked into the trees where the enemy couldn't see them also, but where they had encamped. And so Joshua gets up early, and he says, okay, everybody, it's time to move. Can you imagine, Caitlin? 2 million people moving at the same time.
No, I try to get eight of us up.
She's worked. She's going to be moving, and so that's the reason I picked on her. And but you know, 2 million people to get up, and so that was going to take some work. Joshua was not going to sit around and wait and last minute pop them on and say, hey, everybody up and let's go. Because he knew there's kids to take care of, there's cows to take care of, there's sheep and goats and horses and wives and food, and everything had to be prepared. We'll need to realize, we'll find this out a little bit later, but they also had to prepare food. Because as of this time, they've been eating the manna as they came through. Every morning they go out and gather manna. That was their food. Kind of stale, kind of old, you know, but that's what it was. It was routine. And so they would have to prepare food because they were going to be moving in 3 days. They were going to be getting out of the wilderness and moving into the promised land, and the manna would quit. And so Joshua is making preparations early in the morning. And so, and then it says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So now you can imagine, it would be utterly impossible, no matter how high you put up this pulpit, for me to speak to 2 million people. That's why he divided the workload. He got a representative from each of the 12 tribes. Now, each of those tribes would be representing about 50,000 people, okay? And so those people were to go and give the instructions. You see the preparations that he was made. Not only did he get up early, not only did he say, people, you're going to have to move, but he also made sure that the word got filtered out to everybody. I am so thankful for Jake. Being able to have Jake to help share the load and help to get out the information that is necessary. Standing beside me as we go in. And so preparation, splitting up the workload are all so vital, right? And then it goes on and it says, and he commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. So 3 days ahead of time, he's saying, people, first, we got to get out of the trees. We got to get ready to move. So start packing your stuff up. Let's get ready to move. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is when you see the Levites pick up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was this box, a little about half the size, half the width, about the same depth as this table in front of us. It stood about yay high, and on top of it, there were two cherubim that were reaching forward and touching their wings together, and it in the center was what's referred to as the mercy seat. It was a very sacred object. Only people that were supposed to see it were the high priest. And so when he says the Ark of the Covenant, you would see that you would actually see something about this size, and it would be covered with a blanket of blue so that nobody could see it. And there would be poles put in the sides, and four men of only one particular tribe, the Kohathites, would pick this up and they would put it on their shoulders. They are now each carrying anywhere from 60 to 80 pounds, depending on how we think the ark was built. We don't know for certain. But that's a tremendous load if you're going to be walking, 4 miles to the riverbank, right? And so he says, when you see that happen, I need you to be ready. You see, preparation was absolutely essential as they were going to be going forward. So we have the Ark of the Covenant. It had to be tented and ready to move. We had to have the priests that were ready there to pick it up and carry it. And then it goes on and it says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The people didn't just have to pack their belongings, but they also had to sanctify. They had to set their minds right as if God was the focus in which they were doing. You know as well as I do, we get up in the morning, we go through our routine and everything, but are we really sanctifying the Lord? No, we're getting our routines done, right? Maybe if you have a habit of sitting down and reading the Bible early in the morning, then maybe that. But he says, people, I need you to get your mind right. Part of the preparation of moving forward for the Lord is getting your mind right. So those people were to sanctify themselves. They were to make sure that they were all clean. They were to make sure that any rituals that needed to be done were done. Everything had to be ready for them to move on. And then it says in verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark and pass before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before it. Verse 4 is what I was looking for. And there shall be a space between you of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto for. Okay, so we have this ark. We have these men carrying the ark. We have 2 million people, and those 2 million people are supposed to stay a half a mile away. Okay, so let's go and imagine now that we are standing here, and a half a mile away would be on the other far side, I mean, even past this big open field over here. Right? It's half of the distance between here and St. Anthony's. It'd be about a half a mile past Powhatan. And they had to keep that point of separation. Why? Well, number one, it was a holy object. But number two, if I'm right here and somebody, you need that distance of perspective, because he says you don't know where you're going. So you're going to have to keep your eye on the ark in order to know where you're supposed to be going. Would they go to the right? Would they go to the left? Would they go up? Would they go down? We don't know. They were just supposed to follow the ark. Can you imagine that is your commandment? Just follow the ark. And I want you to stay a half a mile away. Half a mile. That would take the average person about 10 minutes to traverse. 10 miles. Half a mile. 10 minutes. They were 10 minutes away from the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to follow that and to go forward on that. And then, so they were to sanctify themselves. So see all these preparations and these rules that were put into place. We need to make preparations to follow God. Give up sleep if necessary, but don't delay. So many people today, they get challenged by the word of God in a sermon and they say, well, that's good. I need to think about that. God says to be prepared. When you come in on Sunday, your heart should be prepared and saying and ready to say, Lord, whatever you speak to my heart today, I will do. We need to sanctify ourselves. We don't just need to go finish. If you're in my house, finishing tearing out sheetrock or putting up something and then come right to work. No, there has to be this time of preparation. This time of preparation. And in fact, we're coming to our recharge meetings, right? And there should be a time of preparation for us. I think that we as a church need to set aside time, and we will on Wednesdays in particular, to set aside time just to pray for the recharge meetings, that they will touch our hearts first, and that the Lord will allow us to touch the hearts of those in our community, that God will encourage our hearts. See, this is all preparation that needs to go on before we advance the kingdom of God and enter into that promised land like the nation of Israel would be. And so we need to make, in fact, it says in Luke 14:33, it says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples." Do you hear the words in there? Do you hear the seriousness of that commandment? It says, "So likewise," just in the same manner as you do everything else, he says, "whosoever he be of you," whoever is here this morning, "that is not willing to forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple." If we are truly talking about being disciples of Christ and working for the kingdom of God, we have to be prepared. We need to be prepared. That means that we're going to have to give up some things, right? Because all of our lives are busy. Is there anyone here who's not busy all the time? I'm retired and I'm busy all the time, right? And so we have to be willing to give that up in order to prepare ourselves for the work that God is going to do on Sunday or in our recharge meetings or in our own hearts as we face the day. We need to be ready to leave the place of comfort and move into areas that challenge you. Whether it is asking people or God to forgive you, or you're leaving your socially comfortable routines and reaching out into an area that you don't regularly travel. All of us have our patterns, don't we? And sometimes God says, "I need you to break that pattern. I need you to go and do this." And we have to be at that point that we're prepared. We're ready to do that when the Lord. So we have to have our hearing aids on, our God hearing aids, so that we can hear God. And we need to be willing to be responding to him. Keep your eyes on God and don't let the crowds of people block your ability to see what he wants you to do. Just like the crowds of people, if you were too close to the Ark of the Covenant, would have kept you from seeing which way to go. Keep a perspective on what God has and wants you to do. Don't let familiarity cause you to miss the Lord's leading and direction. Your obedience today will lead to praise tomorrow. We are either overcomers or we're overcome. He did not save us to make us statues, but to make us soldiers. We are not just simply an edifice of the grace of God that sits on a table. He wants us to be moving and moving forward, and that means preparation. The key word for this portion is called preparation. Thank you. There's a brave soul every once in a while. You guys are used to me tricking you, right? I'm sorry. In Deuteronomy 6:23, God had given this promise to the people. "And he brought us out from thence," that's the wilderness, "and from Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers." And we all want to be possessing the Spirit of God, the might of God, and see God at hand. But are we preparing to be used by him? One of the things that we have to be careful of is familiarity. Israel would get so used to the Ark of the Covenant that they would start using it as a superstitious item. They would haul it off into battle and believe that because God was with them, they'd win the battle. But their hearts weren't with God. You see, and so we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful that we don't allow this Sunday routine or this midweek routine not allow us to see what God wants us to do. I mean, let's admit it. There is a routine here, isn't there? If I came in and at 10 o'clock I started preaching, you would all be lost. Right? But we have to prepare our hearts and minds when we come into worship. And we have to say, "Lord, I need to see you in the proper perspective. I need to see what you're doing and where you're leading, Lord." And that means that we're going to have to take time. And that's what we don't want to give up. We are so busy. We are too busy with everything. Whether it's changing a baby's diaper or whether it's getting our clothes ironed and ready. And we forget about preparing our hearts. God wanted these people to be prepared to pass over the Jordan River. And he gives them he gives them other people. He gives them Joshua. He gives them the Ark of the Covenant, all in order to draw them in. Look at verses 8 to 14 as we look at the promise that God gives them. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. So they did everything that they did, the preparation that was necessary, right? And look, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes. And we're going to talk about those 12 stones. It's kind of funny the way it just pops this in right here, and then it puts it in the back corner, and next chapter it comes up and we see why they're picking up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan River. I think I missed a verse. Yeah, wrong chapter. Sorry.
Jump ahead, I'm like, what is it?
Sorry. And thou shalt command the priests, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come thither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Here is how you're going to know that you're going to be victorious. That you're going to be able to claim that promise that God has given to you. You're going to watch as God works a miracle. As the Ark of the Covenant gets there and they put their feet in the, they just touch the edge of the river. Four men bound together by this ark, going up to a raging river, and they're going to put their feet in it. And he says, you're going to know that you're going to defeat your enemies because you're going to see something you have not seen in 40 years. May I remind you that in the last 40 years, every single person that was over the age of 60, except two, have died. So what you have is you have a congregation that was 0 to 20 as they went through the Red Sea. Those people are now, they had seen the wall of water. They had seen the work that God is. And God is saying, you're going to know that you're going to win and you're going to defeat all your enemies because of what you're about to see. And you and I would love to have that confidence, wouldn't we? That God is going to defeat all our enemies, and he has. But we got to keep our eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the very presence of God in the midst of us, and keep our eyes on him. We continue as we go back. And the waters which came down from above, okay, and they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. And that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up as a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and thus thou came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So, let's have a geography lesson here. We have the Jordan River that comes down. It is the edge of the border of Israel. It's a small river. Normally, in its normal days, a person wouldn't have to work hard to throw a rock across it. But it's at flood stage now. So it is maybe 200, 250 feet wide. And here comes these priests carrying this heavy burden on their backs, and they are going to step in to that water. You saw the flood waters there in Hawaii. Can you imagine all that? You should see the rivers. You know, that's just a flood overflow. But if you go and you see the picture of the river, they're raging. I can remember when I was at my dad's house, and we had a flash flood. And he was located right by a stream. And I literally, from my dad's house, which is about a half a mile away, I could hear the rocks rolling. The water would come down so fast that it would take these big, huge boulders. I mean, too big for me to even get to compare to. and they would roll them. That's the might and the power. And here are these priests, and they are supposed to go, and they're supposed to put their feet in there. And so the minute they go and they put their feet in there, you know what happens? The water stops flowing. And off to their right, all of a sudden the water begins to build up. And it says that the water went all the way out to Zaratan, which means the Jordan River increased in its width upstream to over a mile and a half wide. You want to talk about some flooding? There was some flooding going on. Right? And here the water began to mount. And if you could be here and you're looking and this is nothing. This wall is nothing compared to what they would see. And here you have 2 million people now that are going to go across. Here's the Ark of the Covenant standing here, and all this here is dry. Not only is water not flowing in it, but it's dry. Because you're going to have 2 million people cross over that Jordan River. And that's going to be for a mile or so that they have to go across. And what happens when you go and walk on wet grass? Squishy, squishy toes, mud through your toes or all over your shoes, one or the other. Now, let's get 2 million people doing that and tell me what's going to happen by the time you get to about a million. People are going to be down here in the woods. And it's so, but God dried it all up. You see, God had a promise that he had made to the nation of Israel, and he was about to fulfill it. And he wanted them to know that he was going to fill it, so he gave them a miracle. And you say, wow, I wish I was there. I'd love to see that miracle. You know what? God has worked miracles in your lives. One way or another, somehow, if nothing else, you have the miracle of salvation. You who were once dead in your sins and trespasses and now made alive in Christ Jesus. You that could not talk to God, you who were about to do your own thing, now you have the ability to understand God, and you have his word set before you. You have changes going on in God. That is a miracle. You want me to start listing all the miracles that I've experienced? And yes, there's days that I say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this day. God, where are you? I go back and I remember those miracles that God has done in the past. And I remember that God is capable and God is willing to fulfill his promises to me. But I need to step into the water. What would have happened if those priests stood there and say, "But you want me to step in that? With this on my back, you nuts." Tell me it didn't go across their mind. Come on, they're human, right? They had to coerce themselves to move forward. And can you imagine their eyes the minute their toes hit and they started seeing the water separate? They were feeling pretty good about themselves then. But they were scared to death before they put their... And that's the way it is with us. God has given us so many promises, but we are scared to death to move forward. We're scared to death because we say, I can't, it's too much, I don't know how, there's other people that are better equipped for this. We get every excuse in the book rather than following through with what the Lord has burdened our hearts with. And we wonder why nothing gets done. Because we did not prepare ourselves to meet the promises that God was going to give us. Let's go back to the scriptures and take a look. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they bear the Ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks. See how we very clearly indicate this is floodwater stage. This isn't a regular normal river. That the waters which came down from above stood up, and we've read that. And the priests bear the Ark. So we have the promise that God has given us. And let those that God has given to the church lead the way and challenge you to take the step. Joshua was there. Joshua picked out the Kohathites. God picked out the Kohathites and he had them lead the way. And so God has put people in your lives that are there to challenge you to step forward for God, to discover the promises that he has. So when you get challenged by your pastor or by your deacon or by one of your friends that's growing in the Lord, look at that and say, I need to do something, right? Ephesians 4:11 to 13 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. God has put these people before you. Ephesians 4:11 to 13 tells us that, because it goes on and says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God wants to use you. And he's going to use other people to help stir and motivate you, to cause you to come to that point where you step out. I think I've shared it before. I'll repeat it again in case anybody hasn't heard it. But I had a call to the ministry. I knew that God wanted me to go into the ministry. I had all kinds of obstacles. Number one is my dad did not want me going into the ministry. And I believed that I needed to respect my father. But I was in a cohort. I didn't know what to do. And I had a new man, a man my age, but a big, huge lumberjack type of guy. And he had come to know the Lord, and I had the privilege of discipling him. And he had come over to the house at one time, and I was talking to him about this dilemma. You know, the Lord's called me in the ministry, but I don't see any doors opening. And here, this new believer, he says, come. We go out onto the steps of the porch. It's dark outside. And he says, now imagine for just a minute that God says, step. You're on the edge of the porch. I want you to step off. What do you do? He says, you're doing this. Where's the next step, Lord? Right? Instead of going, and I got to go on the other foot because this one's a bum leg right now. You have to commit your weight to it. You have to put your feet in the water. And then only, are you going to be able to receive and see the promises that God has for you. Learn that you can trust God to help you overcome your enemies. He has shown his might and his power. He saved you. He is teaching you, and he is protecting you. Miracles occur after the step of faith. It may be a small step, but it is still a step in the direction of God. Have you been procrastinating on following through with what God has called you to do? Don't let the unknown and fear keep you from following the Lord's guidance. Step out now. Join the church. Be saved. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but are you truly saved? Time to make that decision is now. Stop saying, well, I've been in the church. Well, people, no. Be saved. Be baptized. Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Been baptized since you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's a hard one. Ask God for the faith to forgive someone. Now. How about calling or inviting someone to church, to our recharge meetings? That's scary for a lot of people. It's scary for me. But we need to step into it, right? Committing yourself to a time of Bible reading. That takes a commitment, right? Scripture memory, prayer, Bible study. Have you been wondering why you're not growing? Why you are not seeing God defeat your enemies? Whether people or the enemy of worry or the enemy of financial struggles, it may be because you won't make the first commitment. You won't make the commitment first. You're waiting. God, if you get everything to lined out perfectly, then I'll step through. But God says, no, I want you to step through into the darkness. I want you to be willing to trust me that as you step forward, I will take care of your needs. Let me hit one that I'll get in trouble for. People have such a hard time learning to give. So they string up the pastor whenever he brings up the subject, right? But I'll tell you what, if you want to know how to overcome your financial struggles, learn the power of tithing. I could spend another half hour on the miracles God has shown my wife and I about tithing and how we went from destitute, digging in dumpsters, to seeing God meet every single need after we started tithing on what little we had, when we gave that $1 out of the $100 that was in our pocket and we gave it to the Lord. That is that first step of faith, right? Maybe it's because You won't make the commitment first. You keep waiting on God to give you a sign rather than believing what he has put in your heart. So often we do want those outward appearances. But God says, no, I work in the heart. He works in the inward places of our heart. He works inside. He can affect the outside. But where does he want to do the work the most? Inside. And so the question becomes today, are you willing to prepare to meet the Lord? Are you willing to step out by faith first? Only you can answer that. Stand as we sing our hymn of invitation.